Chapter 6, Conclusion and Summary.
Well, thank you. Thank you to Jess and Mel and Nick, and most of all to those patients who gave such excellent descriptions of the conditions involved. I especially loved that last description of the woman with acute glaucoma. She is describing the classic, deep, severe, boring pain that they get. So I love that. When it comes to acute visual loss, or blindness really, it's very helpful to divide the presentations into painful and painless. And most of the causes are very terrible in both categories, but each have a prominent benign cause that you're going to see and you need to know about. So starting with the painful causes, the ones that Mel and Jess reviewed here are acute glaucoma, optic neuritis, and giant cell arteritis. I think you can argue that if you have a way to measure intraocular pressure, like a tonal pen, that acute glaucoma is the easiest of these to definitively diagnose. It can be very tricky to diagnose optic neuritis and giant cell arteritis, unlike an acute glaucoma, which is usually pretty dramatic. There may not be a lot to see on examination in either of these diagnoses. And in both cases, you might be starting empiric steroids before you really know what's going on. An important self-limited form of painful vision loss is migraine, and that can actually be a bit tricky because of the timing. The visual loss does not necessarily correlate with the actual headache pain. So again, unless the patient has had the exact same syndrome before and you've thought about other important causes, it's not a diagnosis that you're going to rush to. The major causes of painless visual loss include retinal detachment, which is sort of one major category, and vascular events, central retinal artery, vein occlusion, and strokes. Now, when it comes to retinal detachment, major progress has been made in the past 10, 20 years here as ultrasound has become more commonly employed in emergency departments. And so those early retinal detachments where it's just a tuft that's coming off and they just have maybe some flashers and floaters starting, they don't actually have any profound visual loss. Well, those are patients that we can pick up earlier. The main thing is to be suspicious in patients that are having detachment-like symptoms and get them to an ophthalmologist as quickly as possible to rule the diagnosis out if you're not able to do that on your own. The other major group of patients is those that are suffering a vascular event, like a central retinal artery or vein occlusion, or a stroke, perhaps even with manifestations outside of the eye. And the major point there is that in addition to the ophthalmologic attention that they need, they might also need further workup, neuro consults, and even neurotreatments like thrombolysis. The most prominent benign or self-limited cause of painless visual loss is a conversion disorder or psychogenic blindness. And we discuss this quite a bit in Chapter 2, the main point being this is not a diagnosis you make on your own, it's one that requires specialist backup. As I mentioned earlier, I think that Jess and Mel and the patients themselves did a great job of giving us that clinical picture of what these different entities look like. But we should remind ourselves just how important a systematic assessment of the eye is, just like it was in eye trauma, to picking apart these various differential diagnoses. And so, for example, whether or not the visual loss was sudden in onset or gradual is critically important. Those vascular etiologies are characterized by a sudden onset. Whether the visual loss was monocular or binocular, whether it was transient or whether there was any fluctuation over time, incredibly important. Associated symptoms like floaters and flashers, those are very suggestive of retinal detachment. Colored lights, more so of migraine aura. Visual field testing is very important here, and visual acuity is key. The difference between the ability to perceive light and the ability to perceive movement, for example, could be critical in the patient's functional outcomes, so that needs to be documented. And lastly, anyone who comes in with an acute blindness deserves a full neurologic examination. And I think that's also really important to tip you off that this might be a bigger problem than just the eye. Alrighty then, so there's my quick summary and a few observations. I hope that you found that as helpful as I did. Thank you so much, Jess and Mel, and we'll see you all back here next month on C3.